in the KSRO kitchen. Good morning, everybody who loves food and beverage out there in Radio Land. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good. I'm excited about tomorrow because it's, of course, everyone's favorite holiday.
Yeah. And that is?
National Pastrami Day. Yeah, National Pastrami Day. I have not had the pleasure of having pastrami much. I don't have it anyway very frequently. Maybe if I lived in L.A. or New York or Chicago, I would more frequently. But it's wonderful that they've designated a day to honor the noble pastrami.
It is. It's one. We've talked about this many times in the past, that it's unfortunate that in Northern California, there's Wise and Sons, that's one, but there aren't a lot of, kind of classic traditional Jewish delicatessens where you can go get great pastrami and all of that stuff, which is really a...
There's Wise
Sons. People have tried.
They've tried. Wise Sons in San Francisco is still doing well. In the Castro area. Yeah. We've been there. And they opened up an outpost in Marin at the Marin Mart down there in Marin County, which is doing well also.
Okay, let's speed down there afterward.
And I think Les Goodman is still doing his own pastrami.
Yeah.
Goodman's Jewish delicatessen here in Santa Rosa. I'm not sure of his schedule. I did try to reach him. He is in actually New York this weekend. Said he's going to do his best to try to go to Katz's or one of the temples of pastrami in honor of National Pastrami Day. And did you ever make pastrami in the restaurant or anything?
I did. Not the beef pastrami, but I did duck breast pastrami just because it sounded so intriguing to me. And it was a recipe that, what's his name, who had Citrus restaurant did. Michel Richard did, and it was this wild thing in which you took it, and the secret to pastrami, of course, are all of those wonderful seasonings and all of that kind of stuff, and then you have to give it time to kind of dry out a bit and do all of that.
So do you cook the duck breast first?
In this instance,
steam it?
I think because the duck breast is much smaller, as I said, I think we were talking about this earlier, I'm not an expert on this. So I just did it. I followed Michel Richard's thing. And it was really funny because then you wrapped it in cheesecloth and hung it from the ceiling. And it was there for about 3 months or something.
You did this at home?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, not in the restaurant.
No, not in the restaurant. There are too many volatile chemicals and stuff in the restaurant. But so I did, and it was good. It was good. You sliced it thinly, and I can't remember what I did with it.
Become like a prosciutto like?
Yes, very much like that. And cured ham, speck, one of those kinds of things, yeah.
And I guess you could heat it, but this was done cold. You could do it
room temperature or something
on
like that.
On a charcuterie plate?
Yeah, I think you'd want to be careful with duck breast anyway about trying to heat it only because it could get dry and chewy and all of that.
Yeah, well, it's an investment in time, and that's why so few people do it anymore, because it's very labor intensive, and we just never developed the history of great pastrami, certainly here in Northern California.
No.
There's the deli ones. Certainly there's in the deli cases of pastrami.
But when you get real, you get real pastrami, it's like, no, it's not like that stuff you buy at the grocery store.
No, it's not. And you taste it and you say, this is what people are talking about, pastrami. Yeah.
It's like great barbecue, it's
same kind of thing.
Same. Yeah.
636-1350, if you'd like a word with Chef John Ash, he's at your disposal this hour. We're going to have a couple guests on the show a little bit later. An idea for winter, since my hands are cold now and it's foggy and rainy and chilly, was a wonderful soup called Ribollita. Mm-hmm. And we haven't gotten around to talking about it. We were going to about a month ago.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about Ribollita. I know you're a big fan.
Well, it is. It's a classic Italian dish. And its great charm is that when you make it, you make a big pot of it and you eat half of it for one meal and then it kind of gets thicker and all of that stuff and eat the other half for a second meal. But it's just one of those great comfort, kind of very peasant style soups that's really, really delicious. And I suspect really good for you because of all the good things that are in there.
And you call yours Tuscan twice-cooked mm-hmm. bread mm-hmm. and bean soup. Mm-hmm. Where's the twice-cooked?
Well, cream? You cook it the first time through. It's soupy, and then you put it aside, put it in the fridge, and then you add bread to it and cook it again, and it gets very thick and stewy and all of that.
Any particular bread? Sourdough?
You know, sourdough is perfectly fine. This is a great way to use up, you know, which I always like to think, you know, you have bread at home, you've spent, and bread now is expensive if you buy good bread.
No kidding.
You know, how many croutons can you make? You know, that. So here's another use for day-old, or two-day-old bread.
To add that to
yeah.
the soup.
Yeah.
And so you have also a recipe for the Tuscan-style white beans. It's a simple way to prepare beans.
Yeah, yeah. In Tuscany, it's interesting. I think it's in that note there. I don't have it yes. in front of me. But there's an Italian name for them. In Tuscany, they're known as, the bean eaters,
yes.
you know. And beans are a very, very important part. We don't tend to think of that when you think about Tuscany. But
no.
It's a very important part of there. And again, it was filling. Tuscany was still is, but certainly 100 years ago was very rural and very agricultural. So these were dishes that you could make ahead, and they were filling and good for you and all that.
Mangiafagioli.
Yeah, yeah.
The bean eaters yeah, of Tuscany. Yeah. And with all our beautiful winter kale mm-hmm. coming in now, mm-hmm. this is the time to be making this
yeah.
because kale's an important part of this.
Part of it, yeah. Greens, but, you know, kale. And a lot of that, so-called Tuscan kale, which we also know as dino kale, and all of that is an important ingredient. It used to be very exotic, you know, and now it's in every market. I think because it's so sturdy.
Nice. And we could do this. I wonder in a slow pot, would that
yeah.
work?
Oh, it'd be perfect. It'd be perfect.
Maybe in my new Instapot, I didn't buy mine.
But you have a slow cooker.
So, I have a slow cooker,
yes. It'd be perfect in there, yeah.
And actually, a few more people after we got off the air last week responded to our instant poll question about whether you
yeah.
can use, and we'll go to those in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, and one person said that they are a big fan of Indian cooking,
uh-huh.
and they said it has changed the way that she cooked Indian food, which would take hours and hours
yeah.
to cook some of these, like the butter. There's a famous dish in some butter chicken dish in
yeah,
India
yeah.
that takes hours, and in
which isn't Indian at all, by the way.
No.
It was made and conceived in America, but that doesn't matter.
But it's called Indian butter chicken,
yeah,
and a very
yeah.
famous
yeah.
dish. And she said all these dishes that would be very, very long
yeah.
and laborious and multi-step in the Instant Pot has changed the way. And there's
yeah.
actually one of the biggest selling books on Amazon is a new Indian Instapot cooker that's sold like a 500,000 copies.
Well, it makes a lot of sense because if you're familiar with Indian cooking, dals, you know, those legumes that are slow cooked over time, and you cook them to the point often where they kind of fall apart and become porridgey and all of that stuff. It's the basis for so many things that, you know, again, very comforting, kind of wonderful foods.
So that we will go to those in just a minute. And, you know, could we put this Ribollita Tuscan
sure.
twice cooked bread
sure.
and bean soup on our
yeah.
KSRO website.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
people maybe can.
Yeah. I will say to people, it's very simple to do. It looks a little daunting, you know, but, and you don't have to cook, you know, you don't have to cook the beans the way they are there. But I included the traditional way in Tuscany that they cook the beans. But any way you want to, and God knows you can even use canned beans if you want to. Not
is
quite
it,
the
is
same.
It,
but
is it somewhat like minestrone?
Yeah.
With the
yeah.
carrots and celery and
yeah,
beans and
yeah.
potatoes.
It's just as thicker and, you know, minestrone is more soup-like,
yeah.
and this is more stew-like.
And with the addition of that stale bread, it'll become
yeah.
more porridgey-like.
And then a lot of drizzles of really good. We're uh-huh. just getting in the market right now. The olio nuovo, olive oils, you know, these are the ones that are unfiltered, the first of the season. A big drizzle of that on top of it, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
You talked to me a couple weeks ago about how excited you were about getting some new McAvoy olive oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Oh,
why the new oil? Because most of us have never had new, freshly pressed olive oil.
It's a different animal altogether. So what it is, it's the first oil that is crushed and pressed, I guess. And it tends to be a little cloudy because it has lots of those kind of flavorful extracts in it. They don't filter it or don't do anything to it. And its whole idea is that it's kind of like olive oil, if you like good olive oil and the flavor of olive oil. So much of the olive oil that we eat, use, doesn't have much flavor. It's olive oil, but you can't really taste the olives. Well, here, you really taste the olive, in it. And they're good. They're not good for a long time. So you want to buy them now. I mean, they're fine. They won't go bad, but they lose that intense flavor that they have when they're freshly done. And you just drizzle it on anything. It's almost a sauce in a bottle. Like one of my favorite things to do is just take fish of any kind and drizzle it with some of the olio nuovo and roast it or bake it or do something like that. And that's all you need, a little salt and pepper.
But can you get that kind of oil?
You can buy it right now. So this is the time to go out and get it. In any good market, we have in Northern California, Oliver's carries a couple of different ones, including the McAvoy, which they were saying to me that this is maybe the best one they've ever made, because of the intensity of the flavor and stuff. And they're not cheap, but you don't need much.
Do you need to look and see when it was pressed? Yeah. Is there a date on it? Because stock gets mixed up.
It does, and it will be identified as olio nuovo, new oil on there. And of course you want to get the 2017 version of that, 2017, 2018 version of that, not the previous years. And again, it will last, but it won't be the same as that. I've been told variously 2 to 3 months it keeps its intensity and then it begins to fade a little bit.
Would refrigeration help keep it fresh water? You don't refrigerate yours?
Not really. I mean, you can refrigerate it, but it doesn't really. It's just something about those fresh olives that are in there.
Mm. Got my mouth watering.
Yeah.
Olio nuevo?
Yeah. Nuevo.
Nuevo. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. We'll be right back. And I have my knife here, and I have my cutting board here, and I have an onion. And we'll tell you the story about this onion.
This is pretty wild.
When we come back, it's the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash.
Traffic on the fives and weather 6 times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Smiling was always tough for me, even at my happiest moments, because of my smile. I never knew about cosmetic dentistry, but now my smile is perfect. Thank you, Dr. Sean Wilson.
I know having a beautiful smile makes everyone feel great. Unfortunately, even if you were born with perfect teeth, they may not be so perfect now. Gaps, fillings, stains, chipped and discolored teeth can all affect appearance, self-confidence, and quality of life. From tooth whitening to implants, my passion is creating your unique and amazing smile that can even make you look younger.
There is only one dentist that's been voted Sonoma County's best dentist 6 years in a row. There's a reason why. Get the smile you've always wanted. Tell your smartphone to call Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS, and schedule your appointment today.
Calling Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS.
Relying on checking your credit to help protect you from identity theft? You're kind of walking through life with blinders on.
Parking meter. That came out of nowhere.
Because there are many kinds of identity theft you can still get blindsided by.
Look out!
Bike messenger. Didn't see him coming.
Like someone getting an online payday loan in your name or selling your personal information on the dark web.
Open manhole. That snuck up on me.
LifeLock sees more. We use proprietary technology to detect a range of identity threats. And if you have a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can spot threats you might not see coming.
Horse-drawn carriage? Sheesh.
Membership start at $9.99 a month plus applicable taxes. Now get 10% off. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS. LifeLock. More detection, more protection.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in the North Bay Area? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple 3-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the North Bay Area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. The North Bay Area is a perfect market for my system, and next week, I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text HOUSE to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Text HOUSE to 82,000. That's HOUSE to 82,000.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
But I've been crying over you, crying over you. Then you said so long, left me standing.
Well,
I thought that I...
there he is, Roy Orbison, and that's one word that we hope will not be happening on this next segment of the KSRO Good Food Hour as we welcome to the show Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon?
No, not,
yes,
no.
not Lyndon Baines Johnson, but Lyndon. Good morning, Lyndon.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Have you ever been introduced with that music before?
No, I have not.
Well, we thought it would set the stage for the following revelation. Tell us who you are with and what we are going to be doing on today's show.
Okay. Well, I'm with Bayer Crop Science, the vegetable seeds division, and I am the crop sales manager for the onion crop of the vegetable seeds division. And my responsibilities are NAFTA and Central America, so that's where I sell onion seed with my team.
And what's so special about the onion we're going to be slicing today?
This onion you're slicing today is called the Sunion, and it's been over 30 years in development. It is a long-day storage-type onion, which you are seeing in the markets right now. It's grown in the western part of the United States in the northern latitudes, and it is the only onion in that category of long-day storage onions that actually lowers its pungency over a time period in storage.
So it becomes less sulfuric?
Yes, there are 14 different volatiles inside of the onion, and we do this in our food lab. We use a gas chromatographer and assess the levels of these volatiles, and when they get to a certain point. And we also use a taste panel where we can have the human taste experience, and that is how we decide to release these onions over their time in storage as to when they're living up to the brand promise.
Well, and you're billing these as tearless onions. You
yes.
no longer have to wear onion goggles or cut the onions underwater or do any of that stuff.
To, yes, right.
And is it, well, I guess we're going to find out. We're going to cut one of them.
So, yeah, I don't have to, I used to light a match. Maybe that was an old wives' tale. Did you used to do that, John?
It was. Well, actually, I first heard about that. It was Simone Beck, who co-authored the first...
The French Chef with Julia Child?
The Mastering the Art of French Cooking. That was her technique, and it was an old French technique, and you would take a wooden match, light it, blow it out, and then take the wooden match, not the burnt end of it, but the other end of it, and put it in between your teeth and grip it, and then cut the onions, and supposedly that would keep you from getting tears.
Have you heard of that one, Lyndon?
No, I have not heard of that one. I've heard of refrigerating the onions and cooling them down and doing it underwater and doing all those other things, but I've never, and the goggles, obviously, but not the wooden match. That's a new one for me.
Mm. So John has just sliced the onion. I'm holding it under my nose. I'm putting it right in my nose. I mean, this is, I'm really going all overboard. But even if I hold it away, I don't have any fumes at all.
But it's still smells like an onion.
Yeah, the unique part of it is you still get the flavor experience of an onion. However, you do not tear up when you cut it. And it's a milder flavor, and you can actually eat it and eat it fresh like that. And my favorite way to eat it is to cut it into a petal and dip it into guacamole or some kind of dip like that, where you can eat the onion fresh, and you know, it'd be terrific to put on a salad too.
Oh yeah, my grandma used to make onion sandwiches, but we didn't have this onion. They would get pretty rank. But you put lots of butter on the bread, and somehow the fat and the butter seem to soften it a little bit. But this would be perfect as an onion sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
And so after we slice these, should we refrigerate these to keep them in the tip-top shape or not?
Yeah, you can do that. You know, refrigeration obviously removes moisture from the air. And so what I do is, when I have a half an onion or something in my kitchen, I moisten up a paper towel just enough to, you know, not to have it running water, but just moisten the paper towel, wrap the onion in that, and put it in a freezer bag or a Ziploc bag, and put it in the refrigerator. Yeah. Keeps it hydrated.
And it lasts cut. So where can we get these onions?
Well, we have three partners that are marketing these onions. It's through Onions 52, Generation Farms, and Perry and Sons. And so far I know that we are present, or we will be present here shortly inside Gelson's. I think, is there a Gelson's in San Francisco? I'm not sure.
But there's not. It's a Southern California chain, but a really wonderful grocery store.
Yeah, and they'll be, I'm sure they'll be in the local grocery store within the next few weeks.
When were these introduced to the public?
This is their first year. Yeah, so we had a few small shipments that went to a couple of grocery stores last year, but on a larger scale, we've had them this year on a much larger scale. So they should be available in many different locations across the U.S.
So, you know, when you came on, you described these as a storage onion, which means that these are ones you grow in the summertime, but then you can set them aside.
And I also described them as a long day. So onions bulb as a response to day length. So long day onions will bulb when the day length is 15 hours or greater. So You couldn't grow them in McAllen, Texas, for example, because that's a short day onion growing place. So these are grown in the northern latitudes that respond to 15 hours of sunshine.
And you describe these also as sweet onions. Is that like the, you know, the sweet onions that we've come to know that don't last a long time? You have to get, when
no,
they cut, they come.
This is that's what that's another point that makes this thing unique. Is it's the only long day sweet that I know of that most long day onions, every long day onion except for the sunion, gets hotter over storage time or has that same level of heat, I guess I'll call it, you know, of aftertaste and pungency and all those things that are common of onions at this time of year. Sunions lowers over the time in storage, and it's the only variety that I know that does that.
So it actually becomes sweeter the longer after it's cut.
Exactly.
Because we think of Walla Wallas and
Maui's
that have a short shelf life.
Yeah.
They're great, but the Valdosta onions and all of those.
Yeah, and this one's unique because it is a high solid content onion that is made for storage.
So can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
How did you get, give us the background on your name, Lyndon Johnson. When we both saw it, we thought, you're the only other Lyndon Johnson I've ever met.
Okay, so that has a story to it. I was born in 1964 when President Johnson was running for president. And I was the last of four children. And the rest of my family's names, first names all begin with L. So mom and dad were looking for an L name, and I think they were just tired, and they just said, let's call him Lyndon.
Oh, that's great.
I thought maybe they were staunch Democrats their whole life, and that's why. A lot of people are concerned about certainly genetically engineered products, like, well, what did they have to do to get this onion to this state? What was the process to develop this onion?
It was done over traditional breeding methods, and that's why it's 30 years in development. You know, onions, it's a biennial crop, and you get seed every 2 years, you know. So it takes a long time to commercialize an onion variety, and I've been playing around with this one since 2008, so, and tasting it and, you know, kind of perfecting it and bringing up the parent lines and all the things that it takes to make a hybrid. And it takes a very long time. So any typical variety that's introduced from a seed company, whatever the seed company is, from an onion perspective, it's a 20-year process at least. So it's a very long time.
And you chose, well, it seems like the these onions are the largest selling ones in the market. Are these yellow onions pretty much dominate the market?
Yeah, so if you look at the U.S. as a whole, 80% of the onion market in the U.S. is yellow, and about 15% is probably red, and then another 5% is white. So that makes up the 100. So.
And that's why, of course, you chose this one, since it's the most commercially viable.
Since you have so much investment in this, I'm going to ask you a question that I bet I can probably answer. But the seed for these will not be available to the home gardener.
That is right. Yeah, yeah. It won't be available to the home gardener just yet. Yeah.
And do you plan on growing these in California, or are they grown in California yet? I know they're grown, I think Washington and is Nevada, are these places that
are? Washington and Nevada is where they're currently being grown. And we'll see how the American consumer likes these, and you know, in the future, possibly it could be grown there.
Oh, I think they're going to love them. You know, it's. I think you're on to something. You'll be buying that island up in the San Juans very shortly.
Well, it's amazing the tearless aspect. I've been doing quite a few interviews this week. We've been kind of everywhere doing these things, and tearless is quite an attribute that seems to have some big popularity with the U.S. customers.
Can the consumer order these direct from the growers yet or not?
Not just yet. No, they have contracts and things with grocery chains that they'll be distributed through. So
we don't know what grocery chains here in Northern California are going to carry these onions yet, or how will we find that out?
I think, the easiest way for any normal consumer is just to contact their produce department at the grocery store that they go to and see if they, I know we're going to be in some Walmarts, but I don't know the distribution centers there of if we're going to be there. I know we're going to be up in the Seattle area. We got some interest from some grocery stores in New York and Pennsylvania and all over the U.S. So,
Are they going to be grown on the, not on the East Coast, just in the western part of the U.S. at this point?
Yeah, just for the western part of the U.S. for now until we expand this market a little further.
So how do they compare price-wise to the regular yellow onion in the market?
I haven't been in the grocery store here lately, but I'm assuming that they're going to be at a premium, over and above what a normal storage yellow onion is going to sell for. And I think they're probably 89, 99 cents a pound right now for just a normal onion.
Yeah, that's right.
And they'll probably, be a little higher than that.
Yeah. So I know there was a National Onion Association conference, was it, just a month or so ago?
Yeah, and it was a month ago. It was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and that's where all the onion growers of the U.S. come together and talk about consumption and things that are happening within the onion industry as a whole. So,
did other growers sample this onion? Did you present it at the conference?
No, I did not present it at the conference. It wasn't, and didn't have enough storage time under it, so it wasn't available at that time. So
when was the when did this first get released? Someone had said, or I'd read somewhere, October, that it was first revealed, or?
Yeah, October, we did have a press release, and we were, kind of notifying the market that it's getting ready, and it will be ready, and now all three growers have been released, so... Mm-hmm. I look for it, another week or 10 days it should be in the grocery store.
Oh, fantastic. So what's next after Sunyuns? What are you working on now?
What's next after Sunyuns? Oh, my goodness. There's always a challenge within the onion industry and just trying to add value to growers and consumers along the way. Mm-hmm. Really, there's some things in the works in the breeding department, but I'm really kind of not at liberty to go out and say those things. Nope. So I'll keep it quiet for now. I think Sunyuns is is pretty darn innovative.
Well, it is. We were enchanted by the idea of it. You know, it's one of the things that home cooks, I think, hate most about starting anything, because onions are such an integral part of most recipes, but you first have to chop them up, and then and they're stinky and all of that stuff.
And you're crying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore. I've had this onion under my nose for the last 7.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And not a tear.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Not a tear. Yeah. So congratulations to you and the rest of the research team. I think the Sunions are going to, well, obviously they're going to explode across the country. Yeah. They're going to be the standard, for onions for a long time to come. Thanks so much for sending us some to try. And we're actually going to give away a box of onions to a lucky KSR old listener. Someone can come by and get the first 4 or 5 that are available here in Northern California. Why don't you give us your favorite number, Lyndon, between 1 and 6?
4.
Caller number 4 at 636-1350 will win a little box of the first ever tearless onions, the Sunions, and you can pick them up at the radio station and try them, thanks to us and Lyndon Johnson of Sunions. Thanks again for joining us. It was delightful talking with you.
Thank you guys very much as well.
Thanks so much. Lyndon Johnson from Sunions, caller number 4 at 636-1350 will win their own little box of the first.
You'll be the first, not only on your block, the first in your city, county,
state
to try these.
Back after this.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
On October 9th, a firestorm of unimaginable fury caught everyone by surprise.
I just saw those flames rolling, and I still didn't deep inside believe it, but I thought I should leave.
Months later, the emotional impact remains.
There's so many emotions, it's hard to explain. They're still there every day.
Thousands of people lost their homes and jobs. There is strong evidence that PG&E bears some responsibility for the fire. A local team of professionals and attorneys have chosen to take on the powerful PG&E Corporation. If you've been personally affected by the fires, it's critically important to learn about your rights for recovery. The next informational meetings are Saturday, January 13th from 9 to 11 a.m. and Monday the 15th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at 70 Stony Point Road, Santa Rosa. For details, visit pgelawsuit.com or call 707-237-2445. Gary Morrow of Morrow Archer & Associates, LLC, is the attorney responsible for the content of this commercial.
New year, new opportunities at the North Bay Job Fair, January 23rd in the ballroom at Grayton Resort and Casino. You'll have a chance to meet 50 companies. The North Bay Job Fair is part of our ongoing effort to help rebuild the North Bay, and it's underwritten by Exchange Bank and Catholic Charities. Bring your resume and be ready to be hired on the spot. The North Bay Job Fair, Tuesday the 23rd, 3 till 6 at the Grayton Resort and Casino Ballroom. Get to northbayjobfair.com.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Filyun. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk KSRO.
You know, there's nothing like sinking into a luxurious hot spring spa, especially if it's in your very own backyard. Hot spring spas are the number one brand in the world, so you know there'll be a hot tub to fit your home and lifestyle perfectly. Vacation in a hot tub every day with your own hot spring spa from the Hot Tub Store. 5 locations in Santa Rosa, Vacaville, West Sacramento, Rockland, and Folsom. And online at hottubstore.com. The Hot Tub Store. Every day made better.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Partly cloudy weekend today included, high 66, 64 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 44, 47 on the shores. Very similar for tomorrow, high 67 then, 65 in Bodega Bay. Monday, cloudy skies at 61, 60 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour celebrating 30 years here in Sonoma County in Santa Rosa. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. If we want more information about those sunyuns, John, what can we do?
Well, you can go online. And you said that you just put sunyuns, S-U-N-I-O-N-S, online and do that. But they also have a website called I Heart Sunyuns that you can do it. But
and the person that won the little bag of onions, they said, no, no, they're not waiting till Monday.
You know,
they're coming over now to the radio station because they want to be the first in the state to try the new tearless onions. Well, when you get the onions, what are you going to do with them? Well, you want a good onion cookbook, and there's one called Onions Etc. It's new, just came out last year. The Essential Alien Cookbook by Kate Winslow and Guy Ambrosino. And Kate is on the line with us to chat a bit about her new cookbook. Hi, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. This voice belongs to Steve Garner, and the other voice...
It belongs to John Ash. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
So we have a scoop for you. We just tried and interviewed the guy who was the developer of this, a new tearless onion. Have you heard about this? Called sunyuns?
I haven't.
Oh.
I just heard that as I was coming on the line, and I'm so curious to hear more. Have you tasted them?
We just tasted them now, the first time in California. Yeah. We just sliced open a big, beautiful yellow onion. None of us are crying.
No.
None of us have sulfur nose. And they actually get sweeter instead of more sulfuric and volatile the longer they are refrigerated and cut. This was 25, 30 years. No genetic engineering was used. It was all standard crossbreeding and hybridizing, and the company is just releasing them this month. December, end of December, was released in Washington and Nevada, and this month into February will be released into California.
That is fascinating. I can't wait to get my hands on some.
Yeah. So this looks like there needs to be a second edition of your book. So that you can include these.
So the book came out last year, and you worked a bit with Gourmet Magazine, I understand?
Yes, several years ago, probably the last 5 years, the last 6 years that Gourmet was still around, I was working there as an editor, and I worked on the cookbooks there, and then I worked also on recipe editing before my husband and I left New York. So that was a wonderful experience to be at Gourmet.
How in the world did the idea of subject of onions completely take you over and decide this was going to be your focus for the next year or two to write this book?
Right. Well, there are a couple of different things. It was sort of a cumulative effect. After I left Gourmet, my family and I moved to Sicily for almost a year, where we worked at a cooking school in the middle of Sicily. And I was helping, you know, lead the classes and edit recipes there. And we realized that just about everything that we were cooking was starting with the red onions that they grew on the estate. And they used mostly the red tropea onions in this particular estate. And we just started realizing how much we rely on onions, even more so than garlic. They were using much more onion than garlic there. And after our time there, we came back. I was visiting family in Pittsburgh. I went out to a taco place one night, and there was an onion taco on the menu. And it was the simplest thing you could imagine, just some grilled onion rings in corn tortillas with a little queso fresco. And it was absolutely delicious. Mm. And I just thought, you know, there's something here. And after that, I just started, you know, jotting ideas down, collecting recipes. And I realized there was time to work on a book about it.
How long did the research take until you finally ready to take it to press?
It was, all told, probably 2 years, you know, start to finish, of developing recipes and editing. And, you know, the whole process of making a book always takes much longer than you think it's going to. But the cooking and recipe development is easily the most fun part of that all.
How's the book organized?
We organized it's pretty idiosyncratic, at least in our own mind, because as we tackled this book, and my husband is the photographer for the book and helped me develop the recipes, we realized, you know, the subject of onions is just so vast that you could almost include every recipe in the world, you know, because almost everything starts with some member of the Allium family. And we had to figure out a way to winnow it down and make it more concise. And we realized the best way for us and the way that we cook is just, it's a much more personal level. And so we had to go in and really find the recipes that mean something to us and that resonate with us. And then also organize the book in a way that is personal. So we start off with the storage onions, which are mostly the yellow and white onions. And then we have a whole chapter on red onions, which are my personal favorite because I just think they're the prettiest ones out there. And then we move on to the sweet onions that can be grown, you know, that are grown all over the country. And then the lean greens, as we think of them, the scallions and chives, and then another chapter with shallots and leeks, and then little ones of pearl onions, and then a whole chapter on the early birds of ramps and spring onions and green garlic, and then a chapter on garlic.
When we come back, why don't we grab a few recipes from each chapter, the ones that I...
Okay.
And also, you have to talk about fried water.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When we come back, we're going to hold people in suspense.
Yeah.
So okay, we'll talk about the fried water recipe, which is in the yellow and white storage onions chapter. The book is called Onions, Etc. Kate Winslow is on the line with us. The co-author of this book came out last year, and we'll continue exploring onions. You should be planting your onions now, too, as you heard Dave Fazio on Garden Talk about. All the onions are coming into the nurseries here in Sonoma County, and it's time to get cracking. Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheese from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Proud members of the Dub Nation, Drs. J.T. Henley and John Mann welcome you to Henley Mann DDS in Rohnert Park, offering all aspects of dentistry for three generations of Sonoma County families.
Featuring the latest technology combined with extensive knowledge and state-of-the-art equipment. Need a second opinion? They've been in practice for more than 30 years. There's not much they haven't seen or done in dentistry. Are you nervous? No problem. They offer sedation dentistry.
Doctors Henley and Mann take care of the whole family, from kids to grandparents. Whatever you need, cosmetic dentistry to surgical extractions and implants, your dental situation will be diagnosed honestly and with integrity. You'll be offered fair fees for service with financing available.
With a special place in their hearts for veterans, having both served our country in the military, they invite you to look them up online at jthenleydds.com and johnmanndds.com.
Hey, Sonoma County. This is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans, and I'm proud to present a loan program exclusively offered by Bay Equity. We call it Giving to Heroes. Giving to Heroes is a loan program offered to our local heroes, including firefighters, teachers, police officers, public safety, veterans, and healthcare professionals. Active or retired, Giving to Heroes from Bay Equity Home Loans is giving back to those who serve our country and our local community. If you're considering buying or selling, or even refinancing your home, you may be able to save thousands of dollars. For details and availability of this wonderful program, please visit the Giving to Heroes website at givingtoheroes.net or call us at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans. Call 583-8100.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 769-88. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and our California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. In the KSRO virtual kitchen today is Kate Winslow. She has co-written a beautiful new book called Onions, Etc., The Essential Alien Cookbook. And we're going to go through and touch on some of the recipes in each chapter. In the chapter one, John, is the one you wanted to
you talk about it in the introduction, and I wonder if it wasn't the genesis for the book, and that was your husband's aunt's fried water recipe.
Yes, this is definitely, as soon as we started talking about doing an onion cookbook, Guy's whole family said, oh my gosh, you have to have fried water. And this was a recipe that they grew up eating in New Jersey, up in northern New Jersey, big Italian family, not a lot of money, but a lot of kids. And their mother would have to feed a whole lot of them without, you know, when there wasn't a lot in the pantry. And what she would do, she would slice down one onion per person and cook it very slowly in some olive oil until it was nice and limp, and then just add water to make a very, very simple broth. And then so it becomes nice and creamy with the onion and the water. And then she would whisk some egg and stir that in. So almost like an egg drop kind of soup, and then serve the whole thing over some stale bread. And it's such a homely dish, we didn't even include a photo of it in the book, but it's really very, very tasty. And it's just one of those things that you realize that you can feed yourself when you have very little in the house. Mm.
Well, it set the tone of the book, very respectful, playful, and truly heartfelt recipes, which I liked also. That was from the yellow
Thank
and white
you.
Storage onions chapter. Any of those that catch your...
So I have a question, because we have the index, but we don't have the recipes. And so what is kosheri?
The kosheri.
Yeah,
that's something we started making when our son was very little. It's an Egyptian dish, and we make it with leftovers. So you cook a lot of onions until they're really nicely browned, and then you mix them in with leftover lentils and leftover pasta and leftover rice to make a really, again, a very homey, comforting kind of dish that, you know, costs very little, but it just hits all the right spots.
It sounds delicious.
Other great dishes in that chapter, the braised lamb shanks with chermoula, the Sunday brisket with onions, chamayo red chili sauce, all that in the first chapter. In the sweet onions chapter, what caught my eyes were the salt-baked sweet onions and Zan's stuffed onions. Talk about those for a moment, would you?
So the salt-baked sweet onions, when I was at Gourmet, there was a lot of salt baking going on and, covering fish or covering a piece of meat or covering, roasting beets in a salt crust. And I thought, why not try it with onions? And when you do that, it makes them terrifically tender inside. It doesn't make them super salty. You sort of brush all the salt hardens. You crack it away, and it seasons them nicely, but they're not overly salty. And then with those, I simply like to just cut them in half and serve them with a pat of butter and maybe some fresh herbs on top, almost like you would a baked potato. Or you could use them and just add them to a sauce or add them to another dish. But they're really lovely. They're, a surprising kind of thing.
And then the stuffed onions?
And the stuffed onions, that was a recipe that was shared, a version of that was shared with me from Zan Stewart, who was the executive food editor at Gourmet. And she told me about her grandmother would make these onions, that she would scoop out the center of big sweet onions and fill them with a mixture of sausage and cheese and breadcrumbs, and then lay some bacon on top and roast them until they were just sort of collapsed and falling apart. So you just have this wonderful package of meaty goodness surrounded by a sweet soft onion. It's a really nice.
I can tell you're an editor because you describe things so well. I mean, we can picture these things as you're describing. What's a boat sandwich?
Oh, well, boat stands for bacon, onion, arugula, and tomato. So instead of your regular BLT, we think adding some nice soft rings of grilled sweet onions and the sharpness of arugula really kind of lifts that to another level.
In the pearl onions and cipollini section, the cipollini agrodolce, and John, you had a recipe for agrodolce in your cookbook a number of years
ago. Well, it's a very traditional, I'm sure, when you were in Sicily, but the Italians, that sweet-sour kind of thing. And cipollini are they're the traditional thing that are thrown. Cipollini or little pearl onions are typically part of that.
Multi-purposed sauce?
You put it on anything. I mean, it's like having, how would you describe it? It's almost like having a chutney or something.
The agrodolce, or with the onions and the agrodolce?
Yeah.
It's that kind of sweet, sour sharpness. It just mellows out rich pieces of meat, but then that acidic tang from the vinegar kind of helps cut that fat. And it's just good. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. And when they caramelize, you're cooking them and then you're cooking the onions and getting them nice and brown, and then you're adding the sugar and the vinegar, so then they get even a deeper color and they get very glossy. So it's just a beautiful thing on the plate. There's little cipollinis that look like little flying saucers.
It is a very comprehensive cookbook. The early birds, the ramps, the spring onions, green garlic, garlic scapes. We don't have time to go through all of this. It's some 300 plus pages called Onions, Etc. by Kate Winslow. But some lucky KSRO Good Food Hour listeners going to win a copy of your book. And would you give us your favorite number today, Kate, between 1 and 10?
7.
Lucky caller 7 at 636-1350 will win the new Onions, Etc., a new cookbook by Kate Winslow and Guy Ambrosino. I am definitely going to cook some onions tonight. Mm-hmm, aren't you going to cook onions, John?
I think I may cook one of these sunions.
The tearless onions. It was wonderful meeting you via phone. Continued success with your Onions, Etc. cookbook. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure, Kate. Kate Winslow, author of Onions, Etc., caller number 7 at 636-1350. Well, sir, next week we're going to be tasting some of the best bread available anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
I think so.
With a bakery that's been around only the past 6 months or so in Santa Rosa, California. Yeah. Join us for that on the Good Food Hour. Coming up next, At the Table with Clark Wolf. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. She'll be back next week, and John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. This is KSRO.
News, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Have you been involved in the recent fires and feel overwhelmed? I'm Cheryl, a displaced Coffee Park resident. I know you've been hearing lawyer ads for the PG&E case. You probably think, how do I choose a lawyer? Well, I found a great legal team. James France has won millions for clients in fire cases against companies like PG&E. He's been selected as a top lawyer by U.S. News for the last 8 years, and he's teamed up with the firms of McNicholas & McNicholas and Bridgeford, Gleason & Artinian. Together, they are fighting PG&E for us, and they'll also help you maximize your insurance. They're charging the lowest fees of all the firms that I've spoken to. California Wildfire Law Group. 707-236-6316.
Hablamos Español.
Meet them every Saturday and Sunday in January from 9 to 4 at the Hyatt Regency, 170 Railroad Street, Santa Rosa.
California Wildfire Law Group.com. The legal team with heart that's on your side.
This testimonial is not a guarantee regarding your case.
Servicios legales brindados por medio de asistentes legales que no son abogados.
James France, Patrick McNicholas, and Richard Bridgeford approve this message.
Right now, you have the power to save a life. Actually, you have the power to save 3 lives simply by donating 1 pint of blood. It's true. 1 pint of blood can help 3 people in need. And there's always a need. This month is National Donor Month, and Blood Centers of the Pacific invites you to be impulsive and do something that makes a difference. Commit to giving blood today. The process takes about an hour, but the impact you make could last a lifetime. Visit beimpulsive.org or call 888-393-GIVE.
If your land and trees have been affected by the fires,
your registered professional foresters at Environmental Resource Solutions can help you. With winter upon us, they can help protect your property from erosion. Environmental Resource Solutions can coordinate dead and damaged tree cleanup and replanting. They're the company that works with local and state agencies, including CAL FIRE, to secure required permits. Please call Environmental Resource Solutions in Santa Rosa, 566-7510. That's 566-7510.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.